This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Ashish Bambrew, VP of Business Development at OmniSci.
Thank you so much, Ian. Thanks for having me here. My name is Ashish Bambrew. I run business development and partnerships for OmniSci. OmniSci is a six-year-old tech startup here in Silicon Valley. Our mission is to make analytics instant, powerful, and effortless for everyone. We deliver massively accelerated analytics and data science at scale. We help customers interactively query, visualize, and power data science workflows over billions of records.
There's an awful lot of companies playing in this space. This is also your first user conference. How do you begin to position yourself in what is becoming an increasingly crowded space, especially as the size of data sets that you're talking about are not just 100,000 or 100 million? You talk about data sets in the billions and tens of billions of rows.
Absolutely. Data is exploding. That's news that everybody knows. The amount of data that we have is doubling every year. And that exponential rise of data is only going to increase, not decrease. There are many legacy existing analytics solutions, data science solutions that are in the market. They were crafted for an era when we didn't have this level of data. What happens in many cases, enterprises and customers initially try to see how they can use what they have available as tools and applications in their hands to address problems that they are facing in that era. What we are finding increasingly is that customers find that the legacy is really struggling to perform at scale, and that problem is only going to get worse. So the way we differentiate ourselves is that we haven't created a solution that was meant for legacy, and then the solution is now being architected for the future. We actually took a different approach. We took advantage of the fastest hardware and technology available 6 years back, the GPUs early on, and we have written a software that takes advantage of the native benefits of the GPU architecture, primarily the massive parallelism that is available, the super fast memory that is available in GPUs. So our software is built on those new modern technologies. And that's the reason we are able to scale to levels where competition right now is not able to. So that's really the way we differentiate ourselves.
I'd like to come back to the hardware in a minute, but I'd like to deal with the question of scale first. For many people, the challenge is not so much about how do I bring more data in, it's how do I actually access that data. They have multiple databases with big sets of data. They are using external databases. They struggle to bring that in without spending huge amounts of resource on extracting data, importing into new databases, transforming the data into a single large data module, at which point in time that data is generally quite stale. One of the messages here this morning has been not just scale, but also doing it in near real time, if not real time with some sets. What is it that differs in what you're doing to what your competitors are doing?
When we talk about large data, so large, it's subjective. In our definition, large starts at hundreds of millions of records. When it's in the billions, that's really when our product really performs well. What many other existing solutions, you know, do to solve the problem of big data and trying to drive business insights is that they will suggest some shortcuts. And I'll give you some examples. They will tell the company or customer, hey, we can't really manage and provide insights on this full billion row data set, but why don't we just take a sample of it? Or why don't we do some pre-aggregation? These are all data science techniques to not take the full data set, but take only a subset of that. And in many cases, taking a subset or a slice of that data and then analyzing it and trying to generate insights is adequate. But in many cases, there may be very vital information that is hidden in the outliers. And by doing a lot of that data munging and data pre-aggregation, you lose the fidelity of the data and you're not able to really look at the data completely. One of the ways in which we solve that problem is that we allow customers to take their full data set and bring that into our platform and then scan that data through very fast queries and be able to, in real time, identify patterns that they otherwise wouldn't have been able to make out.
But bringing that data in isn't simple. We have constrictions on the amount of network bandwidth we have. We see a lot of conversation at the moment about using edge computing to trim out, and I'll use the phrase carefully here, unnecessary data, which goes to that pre-processing. The problem is we don't always know if it's unnecessary or it's just noise. How do you overcome the network bandwidth challenge?
There is a process that occurs in our customers prior to when they start using OmniSci or when they make OmniSci beneficial for them. And that is to take all these different data sets that they have and create a subset of that data, which is more of a structured data set, then they then ingest into the OmniSci DB. We are, at the end of the day, going to accelerate a subset of that data. What that subset of the data is a function of what the business need is, what the customer is trying to do. We are able to use industry standard protocols to take data from your data lake or other data sources and ingest them super fast into OmniSci DB. There may be that little initial relative lag in getting the big data set into OmniSci. So you may have to wait in seconds, not more than that. It takes a little bit of time, but once it is in OmniSci DB, and now you are interactively trying to visualize, make queries, do what ifs, do cross-filtering, where you want to see, okay, within this large data set, what are the various parameters, and if they change, and where is the information and the insight, that is super fast. That really is at the speed of curiosity, speed of thought. But I agree that in the initial stage, you have to do that preparation to ensure you're picking the right data set and moving that into OmniSci DB.
If I look at companies like IBM and Oracle, one of the focus points they're taking is no longer to pull the data to the application, but actually to make sure the application can do its queries wherever the data is. And when we have 8, 10, 15 complex data sets, that makes a lot of sense. Can you distribute OmniSci DB in such a way as to co-locate it to where the original data sources are and then put your complex queries out in a distributed fashion? Or are you working towards being able to do that?
OmniSci platform is architected to be distributed. We scale up and we scale out. We can scale out depending on the infrastructure you're using, whether it is on-premise or if you have a cloud provider that you're using. And if that cloud provider is providing capacity across different data centers across the globe, that really will be transparent to the customer.
You mentioned the hardware earlier and you spoke about GPUs and memory. We've seen a massive uptake of GPUs over the last couple of years, so much so that actually enterprises can't get hold of them whatsoever because they're being taken up by cloud providers and other platform owners. One of the challenges with GPUs, however, is we have competing fabrics and architectures. Where are we on that journey as an industry to actually treating a GPU as a peer equivalent to a CPU, i.e., if the CPU has access to a resource, the GPU has its own direct access, which in itself should speed up data transfer to and from memory, which is our goal at the end of the day.
That's a great question. When we look at memory, it's GPU memory, CPU memory, and we look at storage, we at OmniSci have, over the last 5-6 years, we have actually written algorithms that optimizes these three levels of storage. And the way you stack them is the GPU memory is the fastest but most expensive. The CPU memory is faster, slightly less expensive. And of course, SSD is cheapest. We have intelligent algorithms that dynamically decide where the data should reside. We try as much as possible to get the data in the GPU memory to get cached there. And then we push data that we don't need right away into the CPU memory and then further into the SSD. That dynamic allocation of resource, at the same time optimizing the amount of GPU memory, actually drives a lot of our benchmark results. And that's where we are differentiated compared to the industry. Coming to your question about the GPU memory and the CPU memory being maybe at par, that is a function of a little bit of cost, because at the end of the day, the GPU memory is more expensive than CPU. So the cost structure is driving our customers to make those choices to say, hey, I would like to use GPUs, but the cost of gigabyte of GPU memory is more than the CPU memory. And frankly, that is one of the reasons we announced a CPU edition of our platform, because we believe in the democratization of analytics. And we think that by making our platform available across different form factors, across different compute technologies, we will be able to put OmniSci in the hands of more and more customers.
I'd like to come back to the CPU announcement in a minute. One of your founding partners was NVIDIA. One of the fabric choices that NVIDIA has made was to work with IBM in the power architecture, where it has NVLink, which gives it direct access to RAM without going through the CPU. So it offsets that additional cost of GPU memory by allowing it to also access the same block of memory that CPU is accessing. It's also looking at direct access to persistent memory at this moment in time. How much does that become a significant game changer in terms of cost and speed?
We have actually worked very closely with IBM with the NVLink technology. We have actually published a number of benchmark results on IBM power systems where we have taken advantage of NVLink. We do believe that a flexible, elastic model of leveraging CPU, compute, and memory resources with GPU, compute, and memory resources provides the best cost-benefit analysis for the customers. NVLink is a technology and is a route to that. It's in the right direction. And our announcement today is another way of just making sure that we bring our customers the best price-performance ratio.
One of the reasons we love GPUs is they're stuffed full of cores. And when we're doing massive parallel processing, cores are the keys to the kingdom. CPUs, by comparison, tend to be much more core restricted. I said I'd come back to your CPU announcement. Where do you see customers wanting to deploy where CPUs will be important? Is this for somebody wanting to run on, let's say, a MacBook with six cores and a chunk of memory? Is this for somebody wanting to run on a local workstation sitting next to their desk? Or is this for customers with a lot of legacy hardware, where they need to do a lot of processing on-house because of privacy and regulatory concerns, but they need a hybrid solution, some locally and some up in the cloud?
As our CEO, Todd Mostak, mentioned in our keynote earlier today, the CPU version of our product was actually born out of direct customer feedback that we got after we put the open source version of our OmniSci DB, which we called MapD Core at that time. We found that a lot of open source customers who were looking at just testing a fast database product like MapD at that time, we found that for a lot of the workloads and use cases that they were looking at, the CPU was providing them sufficient performance. We got feedback from many such customers to say, hey, we were pleasantly surprised that even by running it on CPUs, we were getting great performance. That got us scratching our head a little bit, which is that, hey, we've been focusing a lot on bringing this very powerful GPU technology out there, which is great, which will continue to be our central theme as a company. But a lot of the customers may not need that super fast performance for what they're doing right now. So they may want to start with something which is more manageable. One thing which I would like to add here is that when we architected our product, with some planning and some fortune, we actually architected the product in such a way that we also took advantage of the parallelism in the CPUs. Although it doesn't have thousands of cores, it does have multiple cores. Our product takes advantage of the CPUs also, and there are other technologies within our product that actually take advantage of the CPUs better than competing technologies. Our open source customers were getting performance boosts even on the CPU. That's the business premise of our announcement today. We think we want to make adoption of our technology extremely easy. We know that CPUs are available today. They're being used by almost all of our users. The way we look at the CPU version of our product is to really facilitate early adoption of our product, get them to understand that there is a different way. To be honest, one of the challenges we face in driving adoption of our products is that people don't know that stuff that they wait 2 to 3 minutes to analyze on the dashboard can actually be done in milliseconds. They don't even know about that's possible. The CPU version helps us really bring the promise of OmniSci to the hands of those people who otherwise would think that because it's GPU, it's maybe too exotic, too expensive, so we're breaking that barrier. And it is our hope and plan that we will migrate those customers from more affordable CPU infrastructures over to the GPU because that's really where they will see the massive speed and performance.
You sit on top of Intel's processors, you sit on top of IBM's processors, but they're not the only game in town between the two of them. ARM has been doing really well, and there are other processor manufacturers, specifically on edge devices, where we have a lot of need to do processing on data, particularly network traffic, and you work a lot with telcos. At the moment, Power and Intel. Are we going to see somebody else in the next year, 2 years?
I'm reminded, I think it was Steve Jobs who said that the best products we brought to the market are products we ended up not building, because it really helped them focus on a few and make them really winners. We are a fast-growing startup. We have the greatest technology that we think we can bring to the market. but we have to be closely prioritizing on where we want to really put our resources on. With the CPU announcement of the Intel, we're going to be focusing very heavily on making sure that we are successful with the CPU edition. There'll be a lot of other announcements that you will hear over a period of time. We are constantly in discussions with other potential technologies, potential partnerships. We will evaluate them when the time is right. We are driven by what the market needs, not by what technology comes to us. If the market demands and market is looking for more options other than NVIDIA and Intel, then as a market follower, we will hear those signals and act accordingly. But for the foreseeable future, I think our hands are full with these two big partners.
One of the reasons I asked the question was Todd earlier on stage, when he was talking about markets, mentioned vehicle telematics. And we know that we're not going to see a large Xeon processor sitting inside your car. But the reality is we're going to see a lot of very small, very tuned processors. And for the telematics market, that's going to be quite critical, as it is in IoT and a lot of other areas. You also today announced support for Optane, Intel's persistent memory. Is that again aimed at the data center cloud market? Or do you see customers themselves taking on Optane as they move forward over the next generation of refresh of their hardware in order to be able to store data as fast as possible?
Optane is a new technology, so obviously a lot has to be seen in terms of adoption, but I would say it's going to be a combination of the things that you mentioned. We think that Optane is a game-changing technology that Intel is bringing to the market. We have close partnerships with a number of system manufacturers like HP. We think the combination of CPU, GPU with a super fast Optane memory is coming closer to delivering data science and analytics at scale to our customers. We are following that technology very closely and are very keen to introduce that at the earliest possible.
Ashish, it's been interesting talking to you. There's a lot of buzz around this conference. Good luck.
Thank you so much, Ian. Thanks for having me.